Hey everybody, it's James Lindsay. You're listening to New Discourses Bullets, which is where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic from woke Marxism so that you can understand it, so that we can beat it. And I want to talk about a thing called affordance traps. So this is one of these little like weird, quirky, technical discussions where I talk about one of their techniques. And this technique is called an affordance trap. So affordance is actually a psychological phenomenon, as many of these things happen to be. So what is an affordance trap? Well, we have to start with what is affordance. Affordance is when you give people a limited amount, you afford people a limited number of interpretations or explanations or pathways to action. For example, if I said you can have for breakfast that you can have bacon or sausage, I've given you an affordance of bacon and sausage. I've given you two options. I have not given you more options. I didn't throw steak on the table. And you notice I'm sticking with my meaty proteins. This is one of the ways that affordance works. Another is that you only offer a very narrow range of interpretive frameworks for what you're seeing. So either the person, this is an Ibram Kendi, so to speak, stick straight into the woke. This is an Ibram Kendi trick, that basically defines his career. It's his bread and butter as a really dumb woke wizard, which is he gives you this affordance. He says, okay, so imagine that we'll do it with the example of a standardized test, because Ibram Kendi frequently does do this with a standardized test, like the SAT. So we look and we see that on average, for whatever reason, white people who take the test end up with higher scores on average than black people who take the test on average. Again, I'm really stressing the on average because we're not actually talking about individuals here. We're talking about averages and attaching those to groups, which is you've already lost the plot when you do this, but this is very important to how the affordance trap works, because what Ibram Kendi does is he sets up a trap of affordance. He says there are only two ways to interpret this. So he's affording you only two options for how to interpret it. Either you can say that there's something wrong with the black people, or you can say there's something wrong with the test. See what he's done? Now, all of a sudden, you're like, and you're stuck because he's put you into an affordance trap. He's afforded you two possibilities that are not the entirety of the possibilities. This is what sometimes gets called a false choice, or a false, in this case, dichotomy. You can choose one of the following two things, both of which are wrong. Here's another example from the woke. You can either have a living son or a dead daughter with the trans thing, right? So you can trans your child, which will apparently allow them to live as a boy. Your daughter will become a boy and live. We all know that's not physically possible. The studies are now showing that it doesn't work, that in fact, suicidality seems to be on at least equal, depending on if it's male or female, and may be more frequent, especially if it's male. This is what the big study in Finland showed. But you can either have that, or you can watch your daughter die because she's throwing the gigantic histrionic fit and has been coached into believing that she can't live and her existence is being erased and that she needs to die if she can't get her way on this, right? So this is an affordance trap. You have two choices, neither of which are real. You can have a trans son or a dead daughter. That's an affordance trap. Anytime that you see this, where there are basically two interpretations or two possibilities, both of which seem pretty bad, you're probably caught in an affordance trap. What's another one? We can either have a woke hellhole, or we can have a Christian nationalist fascist system. You'll see people fall into these traps face first all the time, and here's what it looks like when they fall into an affordance trap. You'll say something, or I will say something like, Christian nationalism is a bad idea, we don't want a theocracy, blah, 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 or something to that effect, or just that it's an op. We don't want to do this, and one of the replies, or lots of the replies, are people falling face first into the affordance trap, or they are actually pushing the affordance trap because they say, I would rather have that than a woke nightmare. So what's going on? What the wizard in question is doing, in other words, what the manipulator in question is doing when they lay an affordance trap, is they are giving you a false choice between two options, both of which actually benefit them. And in the process, the magic of the magic spell here is that it very effectively blanks out your brain to other possibilities. It's like, imagine that you took a multiple choice test and there's four answers given to whatever the question happens to be, and all four of them are wrong, right? And you're staring at it, and you're staring at it, and you're staring at it, and you don't know what to put because all four of them are wrong. Because you've been afforded four possible choices and there is no other option. And it can be very hard, as we would say, to think outside of the box, to get outside of the affordance trap. And when you are presented with one of these, like with Ibram Kendi's thing, or like with the emotional blackmail of the trans thing, well, you're either saying that there's something wrong with black people, or you're saying there's something wrong with the test. Which one is it? That's a false choice when you've been stuck into an affordance trap. But pause for a moment to realize how hard it is to think of a reply, because that's what the affordance trap does. It gives you two choices and you find it very difficult to think of other choices. And that's how they work. We can either have four more years of Joe Biden, or we're going to have a fascist dictator Trump. That's an affordance trap. That one's a little bit different because obviously we're going to overwhelmingly vote for one or the other of those guys, but you get the idea. You get the idea. Across the board, an affordance trap creates a false choice. It eliminates other possibilities. Like, for example, in the last example, a not fascist Trump, a Trump who governs like he governed last time, which whether or not that was perfect is irrelevant because it certainly wasn't fascist. It certainly wasn't dictator. It certainly wasn't authoritarian, despite hearing on the news, I think literally every day, I think we're getting on like 8 years of that now, that's what we were dealing with. Maybe 9 years of that now. Every day, fascist, dictator, autocrat, psychological profile, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm digressing. The point is that affordance traps need to be recognized, and like all psychological tricks that people like wokes or Marxists or even fascists use, they have to be identified, they have to be named. Naming the dynamic works. This is an affordance trap. You're affording me a smaller number of choices than there are in reality. We do not have to choose between a woke nightmare and a fascist reaction because we can advocate for liberty. The Constitution is not dead. We can defend the Constitution. We can get civically engaged. We can get involved with our families. You don't have to choose between a trans son and a dead daughter because you could actually pull your daughter away from the social influences, especially what's on her devices and maybe in her school and maybe the circle of friends that she's in, and she might very well desist. A lot of them have desisted. A lot of people have ventured down the trans road and desisted. So there's another choice. There are other alternatives. You are not trapped into the two roads afforded to you by the affordance trap. We don't have to argue about whether or not we're going to have a woke world or a Christian theocracy because we don't have to have either one of them. We actually can go into a situation where we have religious liberty and we defend individual liberties again, not a theocracy, woke or otherwise. And so you get the idea. This is the idea of affordance traps. I want them on your radar. I want you thinking about them and I want you to know what to do. Call them out. That's the first thing. Well, no, first thing is learn to recognize them. Are you being afforded a false choice? In other words, are you being invited to an affordance trap? Are they affording you too few options, which both of which may benefit them? Name the dynamic. This is an affordance trap. You are not listing everything possible. For example, maybe there are other factors, other relevant variables like home life that have to do an awful lot, or cultural values that have to do an awful lot with how people perform on tests. So you learn to identify it, call it out, and name the dynamic, and then you have to start looking for other alternatives. The second you feel like you might be stuck or facing an affordance trap, your job is to try to think of a different possible alternative. In other words, what you want to do is expand people's horizons for what they think might be possible in the situation. The wizard in question is trying to limit the possible paths forward to something really bad that we all must avoid versus something really good that for them, which is like communism. Or they're trying to set it up where it's they win this way or they win that way and force you to pick between two sides, or to set up a dynamic where there's two sides. Everybody gets funneled into something like woke versus like queer theory versus Christian nationalism. And then you have a culture war and that conflict generates advantage for them. So your job is to step above the fray. You need to call out name the dynamic, explain that they're giving you a false choice, that it's actually called an affordance trap, and then afford people other options. You have to give them other possibilities for what's going on, and that's actually how you beat them. It's frustrating. You have to do it again and again and again. I understand that, because they're going to keep doing them because they work. Because primarily when you encounter one, it's not immediately obvious what's being left out. You're just staring at this thing. It's a lie by omission, in a sense. And you're like, those are two choices, and I know which one I prefer, but they're both bad. And it turns out that there are other options. My friend Stephen Hicks is a philosopher, just as a final tangential point. He says a lot of the biggest debates in philosophy that seem to be this or that are not actually binary arguments, they're ternary arguments. In other words, there are not two positions being argued about, there are three. And far left versus far right versus liberty, right? Queer versus reactionary versus normal person. There are usually more options than are given to you in an affordance trap. And if you can break out and show people other options and show them that they're real, convince them that they exist, and show them that they can be viable, then you can break the affordance trap, and the woke Marxists don't gain illegitimate advantage that day.